Well, golly. And hello, everyone. Yeah, I got David Otunga on the brain today. Anybody that follows me on Twitter knows exactly why. It's not a vendetta against the genius, as I like to call him now. I know for a while I called him David Odunga, you know, instead of the T, right? You know, we use the letter D, and because I think he's just dung. D-U-N-G. Yes, he should be done with WWE also, but his commentary sucks, man. And it's something interesting happened tonight. I'm going to share with everybody a little bit later. But before we get into anything, for everybody that is on our Patreon page, big shout out to all of you, especially everyone who took part in the pay-per-view predictions contest. I am very happy to announce the two winners. Yes, two people tied for the winning number of points, and because Don Tony is always as generous to our patrons, or tries to be, as our patrons to us, I decided to give both of them prizes tonight. Frank Berardi and Patrick Wagner, they both got 14 points each. I will contact both of you on Monday, along with everyone who took part in last week's lucky number drawings, and we'll get your prizes together. Don't forget, the two winners tonight get their choice of any two from this list. Autograph photo of anybody on the current WWE or TNA roster, or the list of Jericho. You can actually get that now in the WWE Shop Zone. You can actually buy the list of Jericho. Clipboard, pad. It's pretty cool, actually. Or any wrestling DVD or Blu-ray, or any wrestling T-shirt. So you could get your choice of any two. T-shirt, video, signed photo, list of Jericho. Pretty cool. And if you want, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/Don Tony. You can find the links everywhere. We have about 30-some-odd episodes of Castle Chronicles and Breakfast Soup that we have recorded. Plus, you have access to the lost episodes of the Minority Report, select episodes of the Mass Maniac Show, hotline reports that we did 15-plus years ago. Lots of shit up there. It'll keep you busy for weeks upon weeks. There's so much audio there. But anyway, I know a lot of people will be hearing this sort of backwards, because not only do I record this and air it for our Patreon audience Sunday night, as soon as I'm done with this, but I also attach it to the Monday episode of the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle Show. We've been doing this now for, what, about 6 months? So for everybody that's listening on Monday night, obviously I'm not going to get into too much commentary earlier in the night because you got my pay-per-view recap here. I will say this, and remember, this pay-per-view just ended 5 minutes ago. So a lot of what went down tonight, my comments are spur of the moment, but usually I don't change the way I feel in a lot of things. And, you know, my immediate reaction of tonight's pay-per-view was that it was a pretty damn good night for the Wyatts. It was also a good night for Naomi. You know, shout out to the jackasses that had to rub in my face that I predicted the Naomi match wrong. But I predicted everything else right. I mean, come on. You're going to single me out because I got one match wrong. And I got to tell you, you know, when she first won, I immediately thought of people that have been saying for me for the last week or so, hey, Black History Month, Naomi, and I was like, nah, you think they would do that just for Black History Month? Because remember, it was funny because I'm watching the pre-show today, the kickoff show, and it featured Renee Young, Sam Roberts, Booker T, Carmella. Carmella is just doing a thing, you know, like pretending to be on a cell phone, you know, and acting like she's not interested, blah, 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 blah. And Sam Roberts, you know, look, we were joking on Twitter about some of the things that Sam Roberts said tonight. All right. And one of the most ridiculous things was that he actually said that when the Ascension won their match on SmackDown last week, that his Twitter exploded. Come on. Now, I don't want any Nimrods to say, hey, Don Tony, you actually went back and checked his Twitter. No. Nobody's fucking Twitter exploded because the Ascension won. But for everybody that is ripping Sam Roberts for some of the things that he said tonight, I'm defending Sam Roberts to the moon on this one. You got to understand, you're working for WWE before a pay-per-view, and your job is to get certain people over, get certain discussions over, and, you know, some of the things that he said, he had to say. Sam Roberts is not an idiot. But some of the things tonight you could see is was very manufactured, but you got to ease up on Sam a little bit. If any podcaster, any radio show guy that's not under contract with WWE, like Rosenberg or Sam Roberts, even if, you know, down the line we get Solo Monster or someone else to be a guest for a kickoff show, you're going to go along with WWE in a lot of things. And you're not going to go against the grain and start really giving your analysis, you know, like, you know, we do. No, you're not going to rock the boat, if you know what I mean. And, you know, but some of it was funny tonight. I did get a kick out of it. I even got a kick out of early on during the kickoff show, and that's why I brought up the kickoff show. You know, you even have Renee Young actually say that Naomi's been on fire since she's been back. She's been on fire. And I was like scratching my head on that one. I'm like, wait a minute. She returned January 24th and didn't even wrestle. And then she wrestled the 31st of January. That's when she had her first match back. This is February 12th. She's on fire. She's not even back 2 weeks. She's on fire. But I am happy that she did get the women's title. And for anybody out there that thinks that these titles mean shit, let's look at Naomi's reaction in the ring tonight. Yes, crowds tend to use that "you deserve it" line, sometimes excessively. But that "you deserve it" chant tonight was very well deserved. And she got choked up. She actually started crying. Those were legitimate tears. And look, do I think Naomi's going to be a champion for all that long? I don't know. You know, they're saying that she's going to hold it up until WrestleMania. So that's possible. She may keep it for 2 months. She may lose it at WrestleMania. We may have a couple of people return in time for WrestleMania. But my point is that whether she has it for 2 months or 2 weeks, you know what? You become a champion. It's deserved, okay? And she deserves it. And yeah, the rosters are watered down quite a bit because since the roster split. And yes, you could see it even with the tag team turmoil match tonight. I mean, that was just very blah. I mean, that could have been a SmackDown match. All right. But the bottom line is that Naomi definitely deserves the run. You could see that she really appreciates it, and it's nice to see WWE acknowledge her. And for anybody that's going to say to me, "Don Tony, do you really think it has to do with Black History Month?" No, I don't. I don't. I think it was a change of pace. I think it's fresh. And you know what? It's about time that she got it. She's never won the title before. Also, it was a great night for the Wyatts. Bray Wyatt is your new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. A world champion, you know, because we got two belts now. And, you know, it was funny at the end to have JBL say, "Does this mean Randy Orton is going to face Bray Wyatt? Why are you hiding on a fucking rock? Come on." Even before tonight, think about it. You know, as soon as you know who's in the Elimination Chamber, Randy Orton is going to face the champion. So how the fuck do you not know that before tonight? And please, before anybody says to me, "Oh, he's fat," I'm talking storyline, everyone. But some of the things that fucking Otunga said tonight was just the drizzling goddamn shits. It really was. But I do want to just say one thing regarding Sam Roberts. For anybody that is a fan of his, you might want to get ready to wish him some congratulatories, because he did make mention on the pre-show that his wife is 4 days late on having their kid. So she's already, you know, it should have had their baby already. So any day now, Sam Roberts is going to be the proud parent of either a boy or a girl. So anyway, Booker T had a great quote in the night tonight during the pre-show. He actually said, and I quote, "You got to do what you got to do to get what you want to get. You get?" And I actually Googled that phrase to see if that's been used before. I couldn't find it anywhere. I thought that was a pretty damn good phrase. Think about it. You got to do what you got to do to get what you want to get. You get? I got. And Trip Bradshaw struck again today. Bradshaw actually had another spill going down to the ring. He was doing a Texas two-step, and he actually tripped, took a tumble. He actually laughed it off. And I got to tell you, man, You go back 15 years, maybe a little less than that, when he was doing the goose step in Germany and the shit that he did to Blue Meanie and just the incidents backstage. He was easily one of my most hated people to deal with as far as a wrestling fan. I just hated the son of a bitch. I absolutely loved it when I heard that Joey Styles actually punked him out. But I got to tell you, I know a lot of people out there aren't that appreciative or that much of a fan of JBL's commentary. It has nothing to do with the fact that he is pro-Trump or Republican or anything. I swear to you, it has nothing to do with that. But I have really done a 180 about JBL over the last couple of years, and I really, really enjoy his commentary. I know some people are going to think I'm crazy on this, but remember, yours truly also always praised Michael Cole over the years, and I used to get shitted on, you know. Don't get me wrong. You know, his feud with Jerry Lawler that led up to WrestleMania was the drizzling shits, and can I have your attention, please? And I quote, I didn't like that either. But as far as play-by-play, I always was fine with Michael Cole. I don't know why people, you know, intertwined the two and had so much of a grudge with him. But if people notice, that's actually eased up a little bit with Michael Cole. So that's pretty much it. The pre-show match tonight had Mojo Rawley defeating Curt Hawkins. I was kind of like, I don't want to say criticizing Mauro Ranallo tonight, but Mauro Ranallo easily is probably my favorite commentator right now in WWE TV. Okay. And I need to say that because I don't want anybody to immediately think that I'm trying to, you know, pick problems with Mauro Ranallo and stuff like that. But, you know, like, I don't know if this was fed to him, but, you know, when he makes a comment saying that if Curt Hawkins defeats Mojo Rawley tonight, it'll be the biggest win since he's returned to WWE. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, I remember him beating Apollo Crews at least twice on TV. You know, so what is that? What does that say about Apollo Crews? Or, you know, I just thought some of the commentary tonight was not the greatest, especially the match with Dolph Ziggler versus Apollo Crews and Kalisto. All right, because Mauro Ranallo, again, after the match was over, you know, Mauro Ranallo makes a comment, how could anybody get behind Dolph Ziggler for what he's doing right now? And as he's saying that, there is 15,000 people chanting, one more time, as Ziggler is fucking hitting Crews and Kalisto with chairs. And then they're chanting, thank you, Ziggler. I'm not talking just a, you know, the guys and the quote-unquote marks and the people that like to go against the grain. No. It was 85% of the crowd in favor of Ziggler, what he was doing. So it was pretty funny. But tonight, Otunga took the cake, man. Really, really took the cake. We'll get into Otunga in a moment. But, you know, one thing I noticed tonight, you know, I know that because Eva Marie is not on TV, and as Kev and I said several months ago, that we may never really get to see Eva Marie in anything, in a semi-part-time role, because her movie career is taking off, and she's getting the movie bug, and she's got movie roles lined up. But, you know, the guy that did her commentary, All Red, Eva Marie. Obviously, WWE still wants to utilize the guy, but I was a little confused tonight, you know, and I was confused the last, you know, couple of weeks. You know, I'm watching the pre-show, especially tonight, kickoff show, excuse me, and they're showing, like, coming, you know, like commercial for the Elimination Chamber, and they have this guy saying, what will they win? What are the prizes? Like, doing it like a game show. You know, and you hear, like, the fans, like, Wheel of Fortune. You know, when they used to go, Wheel of Fortune. You watch the fucking commercial for Elimination Chamber tonight, and that's what it felt like. And I'm saying to myself, this sounds like a goofy fucking knockoff of the Wheel of Fortune. And this is supposed to be 10,000 pounds of steel, and it's, you know, changes people's lives forever. Blah, 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 blah. And then you got this fucking guy. What will they win? What are the prizes? So let's go to... Come on. I didn't like that tonight. But, it is what it is. Anyway, opening match, Becky Lynch versus Mickie James. And like I said, I'm going to run through these matches fast because anybody that watches this pay-per-view will probably agree with me on this. There were quite a few matches tonight. Nothing really stood out. You know, like Becky Lynch versus Mickie James was a good match. I had no problems with it, but it's not like I could say, oh, you know, it was, you know, awesome spot when they did this and did that and did this and did. You know, it was just like, you know, regular SmackDown match. Not saying it was bad. You know, both women got a nice pop. The one thing I found funny, and you could actually tell sometimes when these guys are either have Twitter going in the background, or maybe they got people backstage all on social media on Twitter and seeing comments that are coming across in real time. And something that I noticed tonight that I found really, really interesting, and actually before I even say that, kudos to WWE for dramatically reducing the number of crowd shots tonight. I don't know if anybody noticed that. There's always been crowd shots. Since I was a kid watching wrestling, there was always crowd shots. But come on, you remember the last couple of months, some of the shit that was going on. If you took a shot every time they did a crowd shot, you'd be blitzed within 20 minutes of the pay-per-view. But tonight, it was noticeable. All right, they did do crowd shots, but it, you know, there were some matches that almost nothing. And tonight seemed like a good balance. Some shots here and there, you know, I'm sure they didn't want to show the kids' reactions when Cena lost in the Elimination Chamber, but I'm sure we all got a nice little, you know, tingling in our leg because of it. And I will say something else, too. And I know I'm jumping back and forth today because, like I said, this pay-per-view, I'm doing this literally 5 minutes after pay-per-view ended. So things are coming into my mind as I'm saying this. But the one thing that I don't know if anybody's really noticed this, but the way WWE is handling history, record history. Has anybody noticed that little pattern? Started with Nikki Bella, then it went to the New Day, and now it went to John Cena. And what do I mean by that? The minute Nikki Bella became the longest reigning diva, now I'm not saying 5 minutes after or the day after, but almost immediately after Nikki Bella became the longest reigning women's champ, divas champ of all time, they took the title off of her. She got the record. Ah, now we can drop it. New Day. Soon as New Day beat Demolition for the longest reigning championship of all time, ah, we can drop the titles now. Cena, now he's tied Ric Flair, most championships of all time, tied the record. Now we can take the title off of them. And, you know, I guess WWE feels that in this day and age where you don't have the number of big-time money, full-time draws like we did 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, that they probably feel that having the stars of today, you know, should be the ones to have the record books. Now, yes, Nikki Bella and Cena are an item, you know, but New Day, you know, they really turned it around with their gimmick. So I don't have a problem with any of them with these records. I really don't. And I've said for at least 10 years now, I shouldn't say 10 years. I mean, I've said it for at least the last 7 or 8 years that I totally get why Cena gets, you know, the exposure and the titles and, you know, the Super Cena thing over the years, because look what the guy does. All the kids, the Make-A-Wish, the merchandise. He is, you look over the last 15 years, he is the number one guy. You know, so it doesn't mean I like him all that much. Doesn't mean that I really enjoy him, but I honestly feel over the last 2 years, he's really turned it up a notch in his matches. And I think the biggest haters of Cena would have to respectfully admit that as well. But anyway, getting back to Becky Lynch and Mickie James, okay, something that happened during this match that I found very interesting. Now, I like to rag on David Otunga for some of the stupid shit that he does. And the reason why I do that is two things. Number one, he seems to be the only one to say really dumb shit that doesn't make sense a lot. And have you noticed, you know, Tom Phillips, you know, people are still wondering, like, why is he there? Why do they need a fourth guy? I'm convinced that I think Otunga down the line is going to be leaving, and I think they're trying to prime Phillips for being a number three guy. But, you know, Tom Phillips, even though he doesn't say as much as anyone else, has he really ever said anything that you, like, scratch your head? You're like, what the fuck did he just say? You really can't. But Otunga, he's got enough stuff. And not only that, because people like to start shit with me. Oh, why are you singling out Otunga? And some people try to pull the race card. I care if Otunga's white, black, straight guy. I care less. All right? But, you know, it's become a little tradition. And plus, you know, the ode that I do at the beginning of Breakfast with Blasi. You know, a lot of people ask me this over the years, and I don't answer all the time because, you know, you should know this. But that little poem that I did that time that pissed off Kevin Castle, you know, they say it's mean to say you're green, but you got to leave WWE. You're not fit to be the shit, so stay at home and make my grits. I did that ode to David Otunga when he was wrestling on WWE television. That's how long ago that was. So I have no problem with him. I'm not jealous that he's a lawyer. I'm not jealous that he's physically fit and built. I'm not jealous that he's with Jennifer Hudson or whatever her name is. Just don't, guy never appealed to me. And the announcing sucks. I honestly ask myself, for real, why is he on the announcing team? He's pathetic. Something that happened tonight. I call him the genius now. During the match with Mickey James and Becky Lynch, all right, David Otunga says, and I can't say it verbatim, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but for the most part he said, because I was typing it in real time, that Mickey James, you know, probably has a lot of ring rust since she's been gone for 7 years. And I immediately went on Twitter and I'm like, is this fucking guy an idiot? She hasn't been in WWE for 7 years, but she's been wrestling the entire fucking time, you Nimrod, you nitwit, okay? And on top of it, he compares it to Michael Jordan. That when Michael Jordan came back to the Bulls, he had ring rust. And then I went on Twitter again. I said, wait a minute. Jordan, you know, he went to baseball and this and that. But, you know, yeah, he took time off. But Mickey James didn't take time off. She's been wrestling for TNA, Indies, and other places. What the fuck are you talking about? So 3-4 minutes go by in the match. Now, remember, ring rust was mentioned 3-4 minutes ago, all right? They've already moved on in the match. So I write this on Twitter, and I'm not saying that I'm the reason for it. I'm sure that there was a shitload of people that are just as smart as me that picked up on that. And like, ring rust, the fuck you talking about? She's been wrestling the entire 7 years, you idiot. All of a sudden, after, you know, all these people are retweeting my thing and LOLing and liking it and this and that, about 3 or 4 minutes later, JBL and David Otunga go back to the ring rust comment. And JBL is saying, I really don't think the ring rust should apply because she's been, you know, competing, this, this, and that. And David Otunga, to try to cover his ass, does it again. He says, yeah, but, you know, Mickey James hasn't been competing like Becky Lynch, who competes every night. The fuck you talking about? Go listen to it back. But it was a weird thing because usually when they say something dopey on Otunga, 3-4 minutes later, it's gone. It's dead. It's buried. The match goes on. You do the, and they actually went back to it. And if you actually saw this in real time, a shitload of people agreed with me. It felt like that either they had Twitter going on the table and was seeing the backlash of what Otunga was saying, or somebody in the back might have fed it to him. Because it was, to me, I was like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Mickey hasn't been competing every night like Becky Lynch? What are you talking about? So anyway, I'm glad that the fans did not chant, "You still got it," to Mickey James tonight. Yes, I know she's had matches on SmackDown leading up to this. But, you know, when someone is gone for a while, you know, sometimes they come back, "You still got it." They did it to Dudley's, did it to others. And it's like, you know what? I think people knew that she's been wrestling all this time. So I'm glad we didn't hear the "You still got a chance." Anyway, Becky does win with a jackknife cover for 1-2-3. Your winner, Becky Lynch. Next year, Dolph Ziggler versus Apollo versus Kalisto. Before the match even started, Kalisto was introduced. He's about to walk down the ramp. Dolph Ziggler attacks him, gets laid out. Crowd is chanting, "Thank you, Ziggler. Thank you, Ziggler." So now you have the genius, Otunga, with another zinger tonight. You go rewind it and hear it for yourself. So now it's Apollo Crews versus Ziggler one-on-one in the ring. And he immediately says that Apollo Crews has been waiting to get his hands on Dolph Ziggler, who has been ducking him. And I'm saying to myself, give me some of the crack that you're smoking. Didn't they just have a match on SmackDown last week? What are you talking about? So after that, I was like, you know what? If I keep my focus on Otunga tonight, I'm not going to enjoy the pay-per-view. Because I guarantee you people listening to right now are saying, well, Don Tony, if he's that fucking bad, don't even waste your time thinking about him. He's going to ruin the pay-per-view. Yeah, I agree with you. At this point, I was like, okay, all right, I think people get my point. You know, this is just, you know, I understand when certain things are supposed to be said for storyline purposes. Like I said earlier about Sam Roberts, you can't get mad at the guy because of some of the things he said tonight, even though they sounded ridiculous. All right. But now you're talking about people doing play-by-play on a fucking pay-per-view, and this guy is saying things that just, it just doesn't make sense. And this has been going on for months and months and months. Any regular listeners know I've been bringing this shit up for a long time, and it ain't getting better. So anyway, match goes on. Nothing spectacular about the match. At the end, Kalisto limps down the ring, gets in the ring, tags Apollo, hits a powerbomb on Dolph Ziggler for the 1-2-3. All right, crowd is silent. Dolph Ziggler gets the chair. You know, hits Kalisto, hits Apollo Crews, puts Crews's leg inside the chair, does the move to, you know, quote unquote, try to break his leg. You know, they're wincing in pain. It's kind of, you know, erotic, you know, for me to hear Kalisto whining and crying. You know, this goes back to the Hornswoggle days with Vince, you know. And any longtime listener knows it's, I say that jokingly. I don't, you know, really, you know, get it, you know, aroused by it. I just, as a wrestling fan that doesn't like Kalisto, you know, to have the suspension of disbelief that somebody's really beating the fuck out of him, it's enjoyable to me. It's a real, and it has nothing to do with him being Latino or anything like that. I could care less. I just don't like Kalisto. I hate him. So anyway, so Ziggler starts attacking him. Crowd is chanting, "Thank you, Ziggler." This is the point where Mauro says, how can anyone defend the actions of Dolph Ziggler? And in the background, you hear everybody chant, "One more time, one more time." Next, you had your tag team turmoil. And I did get a kick out of this with the pay-per-view predictions contest because I post the rules in detail. And if you're not sure of, you know, a rule or something, just ask me. I got a kick out of it because the tag team turmoil match for WWE is simple. Two teams start off. When one team gets pinned, then another team comes out. Very simple, until you have one winner, you know, the last team standing. So basically for the pay-per-view predictions contest, I had it simple. Tell me the first two teams that come out. Tell me who's the first team that's going to lose. You know, just, you know, I had different things so you could get points tonight. So I had people predicting, the Vaude Villains and Brizango would come out first and Rhino and Slater would be the first to get pinned. Think about that for a minute. But it was funny because people actually fucked up and actually ended up getting points. Like someone actually wrote, American Alpha and the Usos would start it off tonight, but Brizango would be pinned first. And they actually did get a point out of that. But anyway, the match, there really wasn't much to it. It felt like a SmackDown match. It felt rushed. I mean, it was just blah. But anyway, first two teams that came out were Brizango, Rhino, and Heath Slater. Slater with lots of, he's got kids chants. Slater hits a DDT on Aiden English for 1-2-3. I got to go back one. Rhino gored Fandango for the 1-2-3. So Brizango was eliminated first. Then you had the Vaude Villains who came out, and within 3 minutes, Slater hits a DDT on Aiden English for the 1-2-3. So Vaude Villains go to the back. Usos are next. Usos hit the super kick on Heath Slater for the 1-2-3. So Rhino and Slater were eliminated. So now the Usos faced American Alpha next. And the winner of that match would go on to face the Ascension in the final match. So anyway, long story short, Usos end up losing. American Alpha got the pin on the Usos. The Usos then beat the balls off of American Alpha. And I saw this in real time, and a lot of people said this too. American Alpha was retaining. They did that for the added sympathy that even with the beatdown, they still prevailed. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, the Ascension, I haven't liked them since they debuted. I liked them in NXT so much more. I don't know why it didn't. I do know why it didn't click originally, because they were bashing the legendary teams and all that stuff. And it just came out like horrible. And I think that just ruined any connection that they would have with the crowd. Not only that, I cannot take Connor's makeup seriously. You look at that closely, it looks like what a fucking kid would put on his face for Halloween, you know? And Victor looks like a cross between Damian 666 and the Zodiac. And trust me, I was a huge fan of Damian 666. I haven't seen him wrestle recently, you know, but I was a huge fan of him with his makeup and all of that. But Jesus, you look at that, their makeup closely. It's fucking, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's purposely to be that messy and ridiculously amateurish would be the right way to go. So anyway, American Alpha defeats Ascension, so they retain the tag titles. Nikki Bella versus Natalya is next. Keep in mind, you know, the pay-per-view tonight took place in Phoenix, Arizona at the Talking Stick Resort Arena. Nikki is from Scottsdale, Arizona. So obviously she's a hometown girl, got the huge pop. It looked like Nikki was wearing the colors of the Phoenix Suns. I could be wrong. You know, I don't watch basketball like I used to. Never was a Phoenix Suns fan, but I do remember the Suns. I think she was wearing the color of the Phoenix Suns. Nikki's family was at ringside. They did a couple of crowd shots on that. You know, I'm trying to avoid the David Otunga criticisms, because there were criticisms in this match too, calling Nikki Bella underrated, and then immediately after told her how she's the longest rated champion of all time. I mean, come on, man. Natty is doing a really good job getting the crowd against her. I got to tell you, I know Nikki was the hometown girl tonight, but Natty was trying to get the crowd to chant Nikki sucks and all that, and nobody would have it. She was really playing to the crowd well. I kind of wish WWE would have played on the relationship between Nikki Bella and John Cena maybe a year or two ago. I don't know why they waited so long. I think that was a missed opportunity, because that added, you know, heat by bringing up Cena would have helped some of the previous storylines. And it may have strengthened Nikki Bella's title run a little bit more. But I will say this. Any longtime listener to the show knows that I'm not a fan of Nikki Bella's at all. I've given her props about coming back from the neck injury. I don't think she deserved to be the longest reigning Divas champion of all time. But I got to tell you, that match tonight, you actually watch Nikki's moves tonight. She really, I know this is going to sound crazy, since I'm not a fan of hers. So I don't watch her matches with extreme attention, or, you know, like just like really analyzing it and focusing on it. I can honestly say, in my recent memory, I think Nikki Bella's work tonight was the best she's ever had. Seriously, I know that she's had a match here and there that have been rated very well amongst her fans. You actually rewatch this match tonight and pay attention to her moves. She really, really did bust her ass tonight. And I'm not so sure about these rumors. She's got tingling in her hand and this and that. I did hear the rumors about her possibly retiring. But these things about tingling in her hands, look, I've said it before. She's been caught lying on Twitter and Instagram about some of her health issues to get added, you know, attention and love amongst the fans. I mean, it's already been proven. I don't know if this is manufactured also, if this is something she started, if this is something people just pull out. She took a superplex off the top rope tonight. She's getting kicked square in the back and the spine. And trust me, if you have issues with nerve damage or possible nerve issues from the neck, all right, I think that match would have been just fine tonight without taking a superplex. So she was taking some spots tonight that you actually think to yourself, if you rewatch the match, she had fucking tingling in her hand and there were issues that they were really concerned about. I don't think she would have taken some of the things she took tonight. So anyway, match ended in a double countout. They were brawling outside the ring, double countout. Later on in the night, and it was funny, Natty and Nikki Bella had a little bit of a brawl backstage. They got like involved in makeup and damn, Leather Camel Toe herself, Maryse, got all white like powder all over her. So because of that, she didn't escort Miz to the ring. And if anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about with Leather Camel Toe, listen to our Royal Rumble recap. Or just look at Maryse's outfit for the Royal Rumble when she brought Miz out. You know, when she came out with Miz for a few seconds. Leather Camel Toe. That's all I'm going to say. So, but anyway, next match, Luke Harper versus Randy Orton. And I got to tell you, man, if you watch this match again, when you hear the first This Is Awesome chant, you know, other than, you know, a power slam by Orton on the outside, you know, some good brawling, you know, Luke Harper doing a tope to the outside of the ring, you know, the superplex off the top rope, there were three moves. But other than that, the match was very blah in the beginning, and the crowd starts chanting This Is Awesome. And I'm saying to myself, already? You know, but, you know, I was thinking about, you know, the work that Luke Harper was putting in this match. And, you know, I took a step back and I was like, you know, I got to give this crowd credit because they're appreciating the effort put in by Luke Harper and Randy Orton. Even though the match was blah up to this point, with the exception of a few moves, they were really showing appreciation. And I don't know. After that This Is Awesome chant, it's like the match turned it up a notch. Luke Harper hitting a couple of beautiful super kicks on Randy Orton, hitting power bombs. I mean, crowd chanted This Is Awesome multiple times in this match tonight. And I have to say, you know, Luke, this might have been Luke Harper's coming out party. And it's kind of messed up for me to say that because I thought Harper and Rowan were winning the tag titles a couple of years back. I thought that they were on a roll, and it almost felt like somebody backstage put the kibosh on their push. There was one point where we really thought they were going to win the tag titles, and then all of a sudden it was like a halt. They were losing and losing and losing and losing. What's going on? And anybody that's listened to our show back then, we were bringing it up for several weeks that something didn't seem right. Like, what's going on? How come it seems like their momentum abruptly ended? You know? But so it's kind of unfair for me to say Luke Harper is, breaking out party. But as a singles guy, he put in a fucking great effort tonight. The only thing I did not like in this match, the only thing I didn't like was, you know, look, I said Randy Orton was going to win. 90% of our listeners said Randy Orton was going to win. But I would have liked Luke Harper to have been beat up a little bit more before he lost. All right? And what I mean by that in storyline is this. Luke Harper hits two beautiful super kicks on Randy Orton for a two count. Luke Harper hits this massive power bomb for a two count. Luke Harper is doing all of these freaking moves on Randy Orton. He's kicking out of everything. Randy Orton hits one RKO and 1-2-3. It was just, I guess it was an RK out of nowhere, and I know that's the whole gimmick and this and that, but I was like, you know, Luke Harper was really holding his own in this match. And then, like, you know, Randy Orton is all the way up here, and I have my hand like raised to the sky, and then, you know, Luke Harper's all the way down here. That's how I felt like after. I'm like, you know, let Randy Orton hit a couple other moves and then the RK out of nowhere. Like if Luke Harper would have been dazed and confused, you know, and then the RK out of nowhere, I think I would have bought it a little bit better. So anyway, so Randy Orton does get the 1-2-3. Luke Harper. Next match, Naomi versus Alexa Bliss. I already talked about Naomi a little bit. I've said in the past Alexa Bliss has improved significantly since being on SmackDown. She's had some pretty damn good matches. Tonight was not one of them. You actually look at Alexa Bliss's in-ring work tonight. It was sloppy. It was not that great. There was one point where Naomi's like standing on the ropes outside the ring and Alexa Bliss goes to hit her. Honestly, I think you could have taken fucking Bastion Booger's ass and put it between Naomi and Alexa Bliss's fist and she still wouldn't have hit Bastion Booger's ass. She was just way off tonight. You could see some of the spots. She's landing sideways, landing off. There was even a point that Naomi hit her with a kick towards the end of the match. And Alexa Bliss is outside the ring, falls out of the ring, is acting like she's woozy, discombobulated. And it wasn't that she was doing a fake out. She was selling this kick not even 10 seconds later. She no-sells it. She's got this angry look in the ring. No sign whatsoever that she just got kicked. And it was just, I don't know. I just did not like Alexa Bliss's in-ring work tonight. I thought Naomi was fine. She hit the split-legged moonsault for the 1-2-3. And again, props to the crowd for showing appreciation. Now, main event, Elimination Chamber. As I said earlier, Bray Wyatt is your heavyweight champion. You know, there was a couple of spots during the match tonight. You know, there was one point where Ambrose climbs the pod, drops the elbow on Cena. I don't know, it was weird because the crowd started chanting, "This is awesome," after that. And I was like, wait, there's only been two moves so far, you know. But again, they were appreciating the risk and the hard work tonight. There was a really nice move where Cena did the German suplex onto Ambrose and Styles together. As far as who started the match and who was in the pods, Cena and AJ Styles opened the match together. First pod to open was Dean Ambrose. Second pod to open was Bray Wyatt. Third was Baron Corbin. And the fourth pod to open was The Miz. And it was funny because when The Miz's pod was open, he was afraid to come out. You know, there was some good spots here and there. You know, it was a funny point in the match where you'll see Baron Corbin and Dean Ambrose brawling inside the ring. Everybody else is acting like they're dead outside the ring. It was pretty funny. I'm like, you know, it just suspension of disbelief was kind of hard to, you know, feel at that point. I did not like the way that Miz got eliminated. Remember, this is supposed to be, you're supposed to win heavyweight champion, headline WrestleMania. Gets one AA done to him and he's pinned. You know, there was one point where Ambrose out of nowhere eliminated Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin beat the balls off of Dean Ambrose, threw him through one of the pods, totally annihilated him. Ambrose was laid out in the ring. And it was funny because Miz realized, oh, shit, Ambrose is laid out in the ring and just goes in the ring and gives him an easy 1-2-3 pin. So you had Miz and Corbin out of this match rather quickly. So basically what you have left is Cena, Wyatt, and AJ Styles. And at this point, we're at 10:52 p.m. Now, pay-per-views in the past, even SmackDown only and Raw only, have ended around 10:40, 10:45, 10:50. I'm looking at the clock. I'm seeing 10:52. I'm like, we're going overtime, man. I still got to record this podcast. But it was 10:52. You had those three guys remaining. So now, you know, because the event is only on the WWE Network, pretty much, and that's what they kept saying. You know, they kept saying you could only see this on WWE Network. So I don't even know if you could access this on pay-per-views anymore. But if you watched, especially the kickoff tonight, they were specifically saying you could only see Elimination Chamber on the WWE Network. Maybe because you could only see the kickoff show on the WWE Network, and that's why they were saying it. But anyway, I was thinking pay-per-views, and I'm like, wait a minute. If this is airing on pay-per-view and it goes past 11 o'clock, just think DDP Goldberg. So that's why I tend to think that this was not available on pay-per-view. Because we're at 10:52 and I'm saying to myself, they go overtime, you know, what does that mean for pay-per-view? And then I'm like, they have to finish by 11 o'clock. So anyway, we, you know, 10:52, Cena hits the 10-knuckle shuffle on Wyatt and Styles. Styles almost immediately after he hits the Styles Clash on Cena for a two count. Cena then hits the AA on Styles for a two count. Now we're at 10:56, 10:57. There was one point where Cena started to climb the pod. You know, he wiped out both Bray Wyatt and AJ Styles in the ring, but it seemed like people were starting to rush a little bit, which kind of like was like, eh. But I don't think anybody complained because immediately after that, Bray Wyatt hit the Sister Abigail on John Cena for the 1-2-3. So now we're at 10:58 p.m. You have Bray Wyatt and AJ Styles left in the ring with each other. Basically, AJ Styles hit the phenomenal blitz on Bray Wyatt, and Bray Wyatt out of nowhere hits this vicious fucking clothesline on AJ Styles. And almost knocked him out of his boots. Crowd started chanting, "Let's go Wyatt, let's go Styles," which was great. Styles hits a knee onto Wyatt for a two count. We're now at 11:02. Styles goes out of the ring, hits a springboard 450 on Wyatt for a two count. Then out of nowhere, Bray Wyatt hits Sister Abigail, AJ Styles for the 1-2-3. Your new champion. Crowd popped big for it. Anybody that's a longtime listener knows I am a huge Bray Wyatt fan. I hope he keeps his belt for a while. I hope he retains at WrestleMania. I'd like to see him have a legitimate run with the title. I don't want it. I don't want to feel it. Let me put it this way. At the end of his title run, I don't want to feel like he was given the title to make his match versus Randy Orton that much more interesting, because Randy Orton didn't turn on Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt didn't turn on Randy Orton. But because Randy Orton has a number one contender and Bray Wyatt is your champion, well, now by default, they have to face each other. I don't want to feel like they only gave him the title to enhance the match that they wanted to have between him and Orton. I want to feel like they gave him the belt because they think he could go with it and run with it. He is not going to be the only match at WrestleMania to be a main event. There will be several main events. At this time, I don't even think that he'll be that match will be closing out WrestleMania. That's not a criticism on those two guys. All I'm saying is this is going to be one of many matches that they will call a main event. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. And that's pretty much it. So I hope you enjoyed this pay-per-view recap podcast. Again, I know a lot of people will be hearing this on the February 13th edition of the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show. And you'll hear this audio at the end of that broadcast. Everyone else on Patreon, again, big shout out to all of you. Thank you for the support. You guys are the reason why Breakfast with Blasi, the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show, are free for everyone. And don't forget, this week, Kevin Castle will be recording the next installment of Castle Chronicles. I will be back this Wednesday with, this Wednesday will be Breakfast with Blasi again. So, I don't know. I actually am thinking about taking this week off. I'm not sure yet. I don't know if there's going to be a lot to cover. I got to see what happens tomorrow, Monday night. And the funny thing is, most people hearing this would have already heard the Monday night broadcast. So, I'll make an announcement on Twitter and on Facebook if I'm going to be doing a Breakfast with Blasi. Actually, you know what? No, I will do one Wednesday. It may be a shorter broadcast, but I'll definitely give you something. I'm sure there's going to be a few things I'm going to want to talk about, you know. But this audio you're hearing now, I want to keep it focused on the Elimination Chamber strictly. Now, your next pay-per-view recap will be in 3 weeks, March 5th, for the WWE Fastlane pay-per-view. On a scale of 1 to 10 tonight, I gave the pay-per-view a 6. And I understand that the rosters are watered down since the split. The tag team match tonight, I just didn't feel it at all. You know, Mickie James versus Becky Lynch was a fine match, but it was what it was. You know what I mean? To me, Nikki Bella versus Natalya, Randy Orton versus Luke Harper, and the main event were the three matches tonight that I enjoyed the most. Not to disrespect the other matches, but, you know, I think Randy Orton versus Luke Harper was the first "This is awesome" chant of the entire night. If you go back to the pay, I could be wrong, but I don't remember a chant of "This is awesome" before that match took place. So anyway, what did you think about the pay-per-view? Obviously, if you're on Patreon, post your feedback. If you're on our Facebook page, obviously, when I put the thread up for the 13th edition of the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle Show in this audio, you could comment there. And that's it. Take care, everyone. I'll talk to you all soon. Ciao.